Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast, joined by analyst Richard Pollock. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. It was the game, probably the most anticipated game on the schedule for Winnipeg Jets fans this year, the ability to welcome back Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian. But alas, for Winnipeg Jets fans, it's a disappointing result as the Jets drop a 4-2 decision to the Sabres this afternoon at MTS Center. Richard, you know, we'll go goal by goal as we always do, but sort of, you know, any overarching thoughts about this afternoon's contest?
A bit of a dud of a game, Drew. The Jets did generate a lot of shots, 44 shots, so they certainly had the puck, and that's to be expected against Buffalo and especially Buffalo's defense. But, you know, the fans were into it when there was a big hit by Buffalo on Kane. Aside from that, I didn't think the fans were that into the game. The chants, I expected more. Mm-hmm. And I expect a little bit more, a little bit louder crowd. They did get, you know, Jets didn't give him, they put shots on net. There wasn't a ton to do with Kane in the game. He's not the kind of guy who has a puck on his stick for long periods and you get to boo him. But I expected a little bit more, but it was still a great atmosphere. And Jets left 2 points on the board today against a team that they have to beat, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and that's really what it boils down to. I agree with you about I thought it would be a little bit more raucous in here, but, you know, I think the team on the ice has to contribute to that just the same. But the big takeaway from tonight is, as we talked about on yesterday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show, this is a team that needs 54 points over the remaining 41 games, including today's game. And this was one of the, this was two of the points that you thought were going to be of the easier variety.
Sure.
And at the end of it all, it's not. They don't get any points. And it's one step forward, two steps back for this Winnipeg Jets team, as we've seen all year.
Now, lucky for them, Nashville's not winning right now. And with Nashville not winning, you're able to stay only 4 points back. Now, Colorado's the other team you're chasing here, and there are a bunch of other teams. But it could be worse for them, but you certainly would have loved to get 2 points for the Jets against a team that you're better than. You're better than this team, and there's no question about it. And that's why you have to win when you're at home. And I realize it's first game back after a trip, but this is a highly anticipated game. There's no lack of emotion. You know, one of those games coming back from a trip, maybe the emotion's down, getting settled in, but you were ready to roll for this one. And just weren't able to capitalize. Certainly missed Mark Scheifele tonight, but that's still not an excuse because you're still better than them without Mark Scheifele.
Yeah, absolutely. The Sabres were able to open the scoring quite early in the game. At the 1:37 mark, Sam Reinhart gets his 10th of the year. We'll mention his name a whole bunch on this podcast. Johan Larson and Mike Weber with the assists on that goal.
Well, you know, Reinhart, Drew, was around the puck. That's what good players do. That's the reason you get drafted so high in the entry draft. And on this play here, he's coming late as a trailer. And you mentioned Larson. Larson makes a nice little move. I kind of used to see it more in the old days, but he'd curl. He kind of curled deeper in the corner and waits for the help, which was a smart move by Larson there. And you saw the problem for the Jets is you see four guys back with only two Sabres in the picture. So there's Larson with the puck. There's the other forward, I don't know who was, I think below the red line. But at the end of the day, when you have two Jets players there and then four Jets guys, two Sabres, you have numbers and you're fine. Nikolaj Ehlers, though, comes way too low in the zone when there's already a defender on the puck. It's the idea of chasing the puck. He chases the puck. And instead of being high in the defensive zone where he should be and spread out, he gets low with the defenseman. That leaves a space where exactly where Reinhart came through. So Nikolaj Ehlers came too low. Reinhart comes in with speed and time, picks a corner, glove side, I believe it was, on Connor Hellebuyck, and you're down 1-0.
Yeah, exactly how that one worked. The Jets were able to tie it up a few minutes later at the 5:21 mark. Blake Wheeler gets his 11th of the year, assist to Brian Little and Drew Stafford. Stafford makes the play here. Two nice plays by Stafford here, keeping the puck in and then a nifty pass.
Yeah, he catches the puck, an exit of the zone for Marcus Foligno. Puts the puck between his legs a little, who comes in. I actually thought he had the original goal, but he shoots and it goes off of Blake Wheeler and in the net behind Omark. But this, the key here is, I mean, if you're Buffalo, Foligno's got to get the puck out of the zone. I mean, he flips it up weakly, and you could see his reaction after the goal. It's not just my screw-up. Mm-hmm. But a great play by Stafford to try and, you know, anticipate the play, and he does, catches the puck with his glove, puts it down on the ice, makes a quick pass between his legs. That's a high skill play. Little comes in, makes a move, and puts a quick shot on net. She's got a good quick release. So 1-1 for the Jets there, but, you know, Marcus Foligno on his end It's a bad turnover, and Jets take advantage of it.
1-1 after 20 minutes. As you mentioned, we'll get to the two goals in the second period, one each by Buffalo, one each by Winnipeg. You know, I want to ask you about, you know, the guys who were making their triumphant return to MTS Center, Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian. What did you see in their games tonight?
What you always see. Nothing's changed. They're not different players there at all. You see guys who can skate, played a lot. You know, Kane played 21 minutes today, 21 and a half minutes, and Bogosian played 23 and a half. And they're horses. I mean, they skate hard. They play hard. They work both sides of the ice. And I saw the exact same players I saw in Winnipeg.
Yeah. And Kane, you know, had a couple instances where, as Evander does, when the puck's on a stick, it's not there for long. Shoots from anywhere. He had a couple that, you know, missed the net so wildly and rang around the dasherboard out to center ice. But he ended up getting his revenge later on with the empty net goal that occurred later in the third period. But the Sabres take a 2-1 lead at the 14:29 mark. Another one in the first period. It's Sam Reinhart at the 14:29 mark of the first period, his 11th of the year, his second of the game, comes on the power play, assist to Ruustalainen and Jack Eichel.
Yeah, and what happens here is that Adam Lowry tries to come out, and he kind of falls, goes for the puck, and Ruustalainen knows he has a little more time because Lowry's on the ice, and Ruustalainen goes to his right, makes a nice nifty move, and passes the puck cross seam to Sam Reinhart. So what happens is, because Lowry's down, Ruustalainen realizes and is kind of playing a mini 5-on-3, and he makes the pass cross seam to Reinhart. Reinhart tries to make a pass then to Jamie McGinn in front, but Enstrom, when he comes out to cover him, the puck gets shot right off of Enstrom. They're close to each other, hits Enstrom's stick, changes directions, goes past Hellebuck. So one of those plays where I like Ruustalainen's poise and ability to make that pass, and a little bit of a lucky goal from Buffalo.
Yeah, now it was 2-1 for the Sabres after 20 minutes. The Jets are able to tie it up at the 55-second mark of the second period. Well on the power play, they match Buffalo's power play goal with one of their own. Matthew Perreault, his 7th of the year, assist to Brian Little and Blake Wheeler.
Yeah, and this goal, if I recall correctly, Drew, this was a goal they challenged as being offside.
That's right. Buffalo challenged that as offside, and it took them a good 5 minutes probably to look at it before ruling that it was a good goal.
And I mentioned that because what actually happens is the sequence of events is not off the rush. So it's not a play that's off the rush, and they score, and it's a quick decision in terms of the offside. This puck gets in, mm-hmm. and the Jets circle it around.
Yeah.
And what
happens? Given that they were on the power play.
Right. So you have Wake Wheeler in the corner to the right of Ullmark, and he puts the puck behind the net over to Perreault, who makes a quick pass out to the slot to Little, who comes in for a one-timer. So they hit the puck, bounces in front, hits somebody, hits a goaltender, bounces back out, and Perreault, who's kind of coming off of the pass from the deep corner, is uncovered. And what happens is O'Reilly kind of doesn't take the right guy, it looks like, and then Leguan tries to cover for him, and when Leguan tries to cover for him, it's too much ground to make up. Perreault's on the puck, and he's got a quick release, quick shot, and this pass on mark. So quick. I like the decisions there by the Jets. Those pass, go to the net. Like, you follow the puck to the net. I thought that was good execution on the power play.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see about the health of Matthew Perreault. He left the game in the second period. No update to Dave Manuk of illegalcurve.com is telling me. He left the game in the second period, came out for the third and played the third, but we'll see if there was, after the intensity of the game, if he's fully healthy, because he did look like he was in some severe pain on the bench and hobbled to the Jets dressing room, but did come out and play in the third period. After 40 minutes, it's a two-all game. Your thoughts before we get to the third period that the Sabres won, of course. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on Jack Eichel?
Well, he's a good player, Drew. I mean, he can skate like the wind. So I've seen him play better, and not in person. It's my first time seeing him in person, but I've seen him play better. But solid player. Going to be very good. I mean, what's going to happen with the Buffalo roster is you're going to see Reinhart and Eichel combination move from second line to first line, and then Kane and O'Reilly move from first to second line. So that's what I see eventually happening. Mm-hmm. But and you can see why they're going to be good. When you draft guys that high, they expect them to be good.
Yeah, no, a nice foundation being built for the Sabres. The blessing of finishing at the bottom of the league year in and year out. Marcus Foligno gets his third of the year. It turns out to be the game-winning goal. This comes at the 4:12 mark of the third period. Assist to Brian Gionta and to Jake McNabb.
Yeah, Jake McCabe.
Jake McCabe. Who's Jake McCabe?
Yeah, well, Drew, Jake McCabe. You know, Jake McCabe makes a quick, nice play on this goal. But when you talk about Marcus Foligno, he makes up for the turnover I talked about earlier. He really does in this play. And Blake Wheeler turns the puck over in the neutral zone. And is that the direct reason why they get scored on? No. but the turnover in the neutral zone ends up in a McCabe pass to Gionta. Gionta can't skate particularly well. He's an older player now, and he just takes a shot kind of just over the blue line, a hard shot low to Hellebuck's blocker set. So really, in my mind, trying to create a rebound. He does get a rebound. Hellebuck kicks it out, and it happens to be wide on the left side. Wheeler tries to get over to Foligno, streaking down the wide on the left side. Maybe Hellebuck wants that rebound, either eat it or put it right in the corner. But, you know, it's one of those plays. Just everybody's in the right spot or the wrong spot, and whatever way you look at it. Foligno comes down the wing on the rebound. Hellebuck's on the left side of the puck. On the left side, the puck pounces to the right on the rebound, and he's not quick enough to get over for Foligno to one-time it past him or fire it past him there. So it's one of those where Sherratt's kind of in no man's land, but, you know, it's one of those things where do you expect the rebound to be? So that's a tough play. Yeah, but the neutral zone turnover does hurt you there. And that's a tough way to lose the game because it's not a goal you see very often. But give Brian Gionta credit. You know, that's the crafty veteran there, putting the puck on net, not high to the glove, but low to the blocker.
Yeah, absolutely. They make it more difficult on the goalie to control the rebound, and it worked out well. The Jets applied some pressure throughout the rest of the third period. I don't know that any of them were what I would describe as grade-A scoring chances.
Sherratt had that streaking play cut through the middle where he went to Omark's glove, but I would agree, Drew. They had some scrambles. Buffalo made a nice play to drive the net. They have grade A, maybe not, but probably a few B pluses for sure. And you think enough of those would give you a chance with you know, when you amass 44 shots. But not today. And then the end of the game was where...
Yeah. Exactly. The end of the game, the Sabres' fourth goal into an empty net comes at the 19:34 mark. Sam Reinhart gets the hat trick, his 12th of the year, his third of the game, assist to public enemy number one, Evander Kane, who makes a very nice, unselfish play to get the puck onto Reinhart's stick.
Yeah, more rare than not. He's not the most unselfish player. We know that. I thought this play might have been offside as well, but a replay showed that it was. It seemed to me inconclusive, but the replay showed the call on the ice stands. And just as a quick note, I'm sure we'll talk about this on the Saturday's show, but you can't have these offside challenges if you don't have close enough angles or camera, at least as far as we can tell on the TV broadcast, unless the NHL has other angles we don't know about. You got to put some camera in the blue line or something like that. Yeah. But anyhow, Kane here does make an unselfish play. You thought scorer in his return, no matter empty net or not, the fans going nuts, and he looks out for the guy who's going for the hat trick, Reinhart. And by the way, Reinhart, he weathered the storm here. I thought he got hit by Bufflin and Trouba both in the head, and you have to wonder about concussion aspects of that. But he was able to finish the game, got a hat trick, had a skill game. Like, did you notice Sam Reinhart the most out of all players? Probably not, but he's on the board three times, right place, right time. And Kane gets his revenge, I guess you'd say. And the Jets lose 4-2. Big game to lose against a team that has been struggling in Buffalo as well.
Yeah, the Sabres had come in 29th in the NHL, and it's a tough loss for the Winnipeg Jets. You're looking at the time on ice for some of the Jets players. Dustin Byfuglien leads all defensemen with 25 minutes and 59 seconds. Brian Little leads all forwards at the 23-minute mark in terms of time on ice. Jets drop a 4-2 decision to the San Jose Sharks this afternoon at MTS Center. Pardon me, I was getting ahead of myself. They dropped the decision to the Buffalo Sabres next in action against the San Jose Sharks on Tuesday evening here at MTS Center as they look to get back on the winning track in the course of this 9 games at home over their next 10 contests. For analyst Richard Pollock, for my colleagues with The Legal Curve, Dave Manuk and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been The Legal Curve post-game podcast.